Good morning, and thank you for having us here today. Alyssa and I were here 2 years ago, and some of you, I'm sure, I hope, remember that. And we share our testimonies and how God brought us to this ministry when we were here last time. And God has blessed and has shaped our ministry in the last 2 years. And we'd like to give you some highlights. We would also like to encourage you right here in the mission field God has placed you in.
Our vision for our ministry is to bring the hope of the gospel of Christ to the outcasts and the orphans in Romania. We want these children that have been abused and neglected and abandoned to know that there's a Heavenly Father that loves them and that desires to have a relationship with them and that will never abandon them. And we want these children and individuals and families who have been cast out by the world to know that that their Heavenly Father will never cast them aside, and that having a relationship with Jesus Christ brings eternal hope and joy, and that there is fulfillment and in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We just read together Matthew 28:19-20, but I'm just going to read it again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
In everything we do, we hope to make obedient disciples of Jesus. And of course, this begins with sharing the gospel. There's no other way. And whether they're children or teenagers or adults, everyone needs to hear the gospel the same way like we did many years ago or maybe recently. And that's what God used to change our lives. We all need to hear the gospel. And as followers of Christ, we are called and commanded to do that. It's not an option for us. And Paul says in Romans 10:14, and it's a really good verse to emphasize the importance of this commandment. He says here, but how can they call on him, on God, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? There's no other way. They need to hear the gospel in order for them to believe. And we believe it's our responsibility to share the gospel at any time with everyone and train people that will be able to take the gospel to other people so that all of them will hear. And for this reason, we go most Fridays on our streets in Oradea. We apply for a permit from the city hall, and they usually give it to us, so we can use loudspeakers and microphones, and we can preach the gospel on the streets. And some of us do that, and the other people that come, they give Bibles, or they pray for people, or they just have biblical conversations with people that stop to listen to us. And Alyssa is going to share with us a story of what happened not too long ago when we did that.
So yeah, a few months ago, we were doing this street evangelism with our church family, and we were on a busy sidewalk. There was someone with a loudspeaker preaching the gospel, and I kind of prefer to hand out the Bibles, to offer to pray for someone. I'm still a little nervous sometimes talking to strangers in my Romanian because I don't think my grammar is that good. So I usually do that, and so usually I got an opportunity to pray for different people. But this day, about halfway through our time there, one of the guys that was with us brought a teenage girl to me and said, "Hey, can you tell this girl how to be saved? She wants to know how to be saved." And I felt a little nervous, but I looked around, and there was no one else I could pass her off to. So I just apologized for my poor grammar and told her if she didn't understand something I said to just let me know, and I would explain hopefully better. And I just kind of dove in, and I started sharing the truth of the gospel with her. I shared about our sin and our need for a savior. I shared about what Jesus did, how God sent Jesus to earth to die for our sins, and how we have to believe that in order to be saved. And I explained what it means to follow Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life. She listened attentively through everything that I shared with her. And I was kind of just amazed at how the words were flowing out of my mouth in this Romanian that seemed better than I normally speak. And I just really felt empowered by the Holy Spirit, and God really gave me strength in that moment to share with her. In the end, this young lady, when I asked her if she wanted to pray, she was like right here on the sidewalk? She wasn't very comfortable with that. So she didn't pray, and it wasn't maybe the ending I really hoped for, but I know that she heard the gospel very clearly, and I know that God is pursuing her heart, and I know that God loves her, and he'll continue to pursue her. And we never really know people's stories when we get the chance to share the gospel with them. We don't know if they've heard the gospel before. This could be the first time they've ever heard it. It could be the fifth time. And we don't know. Some people have to hear the gospel seven times before they will turn to the Lord as Lord and Savior. So, but all of those times are important. Whether you're the person that tells them the gospel the first time, the second time, the fifth time, or the seventh time, they're all just as important. And they're all a part of God pursuing that person into a relationship with him. So that day, I really had no idea I was going to talk to this girl and share the way of salvation. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So probably, maybe if you guys have tried to share the gospel with someone you felt nervous to, or maybe you haven't because you're too nervous. Maybe you worry that someone, your friendship with someone will change at work if you share your faith with them. Or maybe you just think, oh, they've made negative comments before about Christians, so I don't want them to even know I'm a Christian. But God will be with you, and God has called us and commanded us to share our faith and share the reason for the hope that we have. We have this eternal hope, and we're called to share it. So if you do step out in obedience and share with that person, maybe that has come to your mind, I just want to encourage you that God will be with you when you do that, and he'll give you the words and the strength, and it's really a beautiful thing.
From Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of our whole world history, we see God seeking us, seeking the mankind. God is the one who created life. God is the one who sustains life. He's the one who initiates the relationship with us, and he does so much for us. He redeemed us. He restored us. And if we go to the Bible, we see so many things that God does in relation with us. We see God being interested in mission from the day Adam and Eve sinned to the day Abraham received the promises through faith. And we see God's heart for missions through the 12 patriarchs of Israel, through the prophets, and through Israel to all the nations. We see God's heart for mission in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. And we see that because we see Christ that came to on earth for us to save us. If he wasn't interested, he would have found a different way maybe. But we see God that came to save us. We see that Christ was on a mission. He was on a mission to do God's will and to save us. Because he's interested in missions. And this was carried out through the apostles and then through the first Christians and through the church. And today we represent the church of Christ. And God works through us and touches many lives. And we also see God's heart for orphans throughout the Bible. And there are over at least 40 references about fatherless or orphans, at least 40. We see that God is really interested in that all of us would have a father, because many of us never had one. And God was really serious in his instructions for his people to care for the widows and for poor people and for orphans. There was no other way. And we see this over and over and over again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God tells us what to do and how to care for these people. Because and we believe that God desires the same thing from us. And we see this in James 1:27, where he says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world.
So a big part of our ministry is working with orphans. We believe that God loves these children and cares for them deeply. And it's often difficult work because of the abuse and neglect and psychological trauma that they have often gone through, whether before they were in an orphanage or after, sometimes too. And they've just experienced a lot of brokenness in their lives. We work consistently in two different orphanages. One's a small private orphanage and one's a larger state orphanage. And we work with kids from 3 to 18 and sometimes even older. And our goal is just to teach them the truth of God's word and to teach them that their Heavenly Father loves them and to show them what it looks like to follow Jesus and to teach them what life looks like when we follow after our Heavenly Father and have Jesus as the Lord of our life.
It's never too early to start discipleship, and making disciples is a biblical command. Jesus commanded us to do that, and because of that, we don't want these kids to just be part of our life on some days. We don't want to have a program for them, because we know that programs don't change people. It's just the gospel that changes them. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:10, and he gives a really good example in this regard. He says that you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, and etc. Because Timothy saw that, he was with Paul, and he saw all these things. He wasn't just once a week or twice a month with him. He was witness to all these things that they experienced together. And because of that, Paul can tell him, because of you've seen all these things, you should act in a specific way. So sometimes these kids get to come to our house, or we get to do cool stuff with them in the city. And this gives us the chance to just have spiritual conversations with them and pray with them and just answer to their deeper questions that some of them might have. Sometimes it's what it means to be baptized or how can you be saved. And a few months ago, I was with three of these kids from the orphanage at McDonald's. And kids in Romania love McDonald's. It's like one of the best things you could do with them. So we went to McDonald's for lunch, and I asked Gabi, this kid that was with me, to pray for our meal. And there were a lot of people there that afternoon, because Romanians are crazy about fast food. So, and Gabi says, he looks at me and kind of whispers to me, he says, there's so many people here, I'm embarrassed to pray. And I just smile, and like, you know, Gabi, you don't have to be ashamed. If you love God and if you know what God did for you, you should be honored to talk to your Father. You know, every time you have this opportunity to talk to him, you should do it, because he wants you to do that. He expects you to do it, because you have so many reasons to thank him for everything that he does for you. And I was really happy because he did it. I saw that he was nervous and he wasn't really sure how to do it. He tried to be done as fast as possible, but he did it. And sometimes that's what we have to do. Just, you know, push them a little bit. And
so we really have established a little bit about the biblical call to care for orphans. And that's not just something that we're called to do, but it's something that all believers are called to do. And so I just want to challenge you to think a little bit. I know we've heard some really beautiful stories of adoption from inside of this church family, and that really encourages us. And we pray that God will bless and strengthen and encourage those families and those children who are no longer orphans, which is just beautiful. But maybe some of you aren't sure how you could love or care for these kids that are right here in your community too. But don't be trapped by the assumption that adoption or foster care is the only way to care for these kids. There are countless ways. It might look like supporting or encouraging one of those families that you know that has adopted kids or has foster kids in their home. Maybe you could commit to consistent prayer for one of those families. Maybe you could make a meal for them or offer some free babysitting. Or there are just so many ways that you could be a part of that and care for the kids right here in your community who maybe don't have parents or don't have parents that are fulfilling the roles of parents in their lives. So I would just like to challenge you. We want to challenge you just to maybe write down right now one way that you could maybe help those kids and care for the fatherless children in your community. And maybe you could just pray about making that a habit in your life and making that a part of your faith walk with the Lord. So we'd just like to encourage you in that. Okay, next is many times when we go to the orphanages, we ask questions about the Bible story. and a lot of the little kids, they all like to answer questions, probably because sometimes we give candy if they have the right answer. But the little kids eagerly raise their hands and shout out, "Jesus, Jesus!" He's always the answer, you know? And of course, that's not always the answer we're looking for, but they have something right. The answer to all our questions in life, all of the deep questions in our life, all of the important questions in our life, we can find those answers in Jesus and in the Word of God. And if we want to know how to live in a way that honors and glorifies God, we just have to look at the life of Jesus. And Jesus gave us an incredible example of how to care for the people in our communities and in our world that are cast out by society. Jesus was just in his ministry, in his walk on earth, he embraced the hated tax collectors. He touched the untouchable lepers. He spoke and made time for beggars. He took time and spoke with prostitutes. He intentionally walked through, avoided Samaria. Jesus drew near to the people that the world cast aside, and he radically changed their lives. In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out."
Because of that, we want to go and work with Roma people or gypsies. We work in a few villages where I preach to help some pastors who are often ministering to too many churches for them. There are some that have even 10 or 12 churches, so it's hard for them to even go there to give the Lord's Supper, not to say to do more than that. So we have a few villages where we go consistently, and in one of them we're also helping with the children's ministry. Now, the Roma people, or the gypsies, as you might heard, they are very distinct. They're not Romanians. They have their own culture. They have their own language, their own traditions. They don't blend in any of the cultures they go to. A lot of them live in Eastern Europe, and a lot of them live in Romania. And they're still considered an unreached group because less than 3% of them are Christians, and they're very, very discriminated in Romania especially. It's heartbreaking a lot of times because even Christians, or people that call themselves Christians, say that, "Why do you waste your time with them? Because, you know, eventually you'll see that they're going to do something bad to you, or they're going to just take advantage of you, or they just want to use you for something." We hear this a lot of times from many Christians. But we've seen God changing some of them. We know that God has power to change them. We know that God send his son to die for them. It's not a waste of time to go and share the gospel with them and work with them. And a lot of times we see this in Oradea, and not just in Oradea where we live, but also in different parts of Romania. When we take the tram or the bus, because we have public transportation there, not everyone has a car. So a lot of times that's what we do. We take the bus, and when someone comes in the bus, a Roma person, you know, they usually don't smell very good and they don't have nice clothes. Kind of everyone kind of steps away from them a few meters. And there's like this circle around them every single time. No one talks to them. No one even looks at them. Or they're kind of expecting them to steal their wallet or something. It's really sad to see that someone can be treated in this way. And most churches in Romania don't do a lot for these people. This is why we believe that God wants us to get involved in these communities, because these people need to hear the gospel.
When we go to the villages and we work with the kids, they're simply desperate for love and affection. These kids do have families, but they still have a hunger for something more that they're not getting from their families. And sometimes they'll physically fight over who gets to hold your hand when you're standing there. I've had kids slap one another and had to, you know, sit down and talk to them. "We don't hit," you know. Or maybe fight over who gets to sit on your lap if you sit down. And a lot of times I'll pick up a little one and they'll just nuzzle right down and fall asleep in my arms, like they just haven't been held in days or something. They just face a lot of rejection and abuse, not only in the community, not only at school when they go to school, but there's just a hardness even within their own families because of the lives that they live because of the poverty they often live in, because of the brokenness in their families that, you know, can only be healed by Jesus. And when we come in and we share about Jesus who loves them, a Heavenly Father who cares for them, sometimes it's a hard idea for them to comprehend, even the kids. But especially the older they get, it seems like their hearts just grow hardened. So it's definitely a ministry that has to be bathed in prayer and that God really has to work on their hearts. Like Rizvan said, Romanians often say things to us about this ministry, and even the Romanian Christians. A lot of times people will say things to me if they see a picture of me holding a little child in a Roma village, and they'll say, "I can't believe you held that baby, you're crazy, or you're really brave, or you're going to get lice, or you're going to get sick." And or they just say, "You're just wasting your time. They're never really going to change." And so that can be discouraging, but we're encouraged and strengthened because we know that God has a great love for these people, that God created them in his own image, and that Jesus died for them too. We know that God has a good purpose and a good plan for their lives, and we want to teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus and to be his disciple. We believe that there's always room in God's kingdom. In Matthew 11, 28 through 29, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Maybe you guys are wondering, all these things are great, but, you know, it's great because it's your job, but I might never move out of the U.S. because life without ranch dressing and steak would be really hard. But it's definitely sure that God will not call everyone to be a pastor or a youth leader or a missionary. Many of you might never be involved in ministry full-time. And that's okay, because God has a plan for you right here where you are, or whatever he'll send you in America. He has a plan for you, and he wants to use you. This is why we always need to be prepared, like Peter says, to give an answer to those who ask us, why do you live this the way you live? Because, you know, people look at us and they see the way we live is different, and they need to know why we live differently. And Peter says to give the reason for the hope that we have, because we have a hope in Christ, and because of that we can live differently than the world each day, but it is with gentleness and respect. A few months ago, I was while we were doing street evangelism with our church, I met this lady. I saw her kind of trying to be a little far away from us, not for everyone to be able to see her. She was behind some trees in this park in Orada. And I just debated for like 5 or 10 minutes. Should I go to this lady? Should I, you know? It was kind of weird to just go to a lady who's alone there. She was in her 50s. So I said, okay, I'll just go. And hopefully nothing, she won't think anything weird about me. But I just said, are you listening to the message that our friends are sharing on the microphone? And she said, yeah. So I asked her by herself. She told me her life story, her struggle. She told me that her son recently died a few years ago, and then not too long ago, her husband died too. And she was very sad, and she started crying. And she told me that ever since her son and her husband died, no one came to pray for her, not even the Orthodox priest, because Romania is an Orthodox country. And that was really sad, because I could tell that this woman wanted to talk to someone. She needed to talk to someone. But there wasn't anyone who would take the time to even ask about her life. So I prayed for her. She allowed me to share the gospel, and she looked at me and she said, "You're like my son." And I just can't believe that there are some people like you, so young, who love God so much. And a few days later, I went and brought her a Bible, because she said she doesn't have a Bible. And a week later or so, she told me that she read the whole book of Matthew so fast, because she was ready and she was eager to read the Bible. She needed that. She needed to find a Savior. So we always have to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have. There might be people in your neighborhood, where you work, at school, at Walmart, or whatever store you go to, they need to hear the good news of the gospel.
We all have people in our lives, or hopefully have people in our lives that don't know Jesus. And sometimes it's easy to go about our lives and not be concerned about them. But we should have the kind of compassion that Jesus had for them. We should have a sense of urgency to share the gospel with them, because none of us are promised tomorrow, neither are they. And what we are promised is eternity. And that's either an eternity with God or an eternity without God. And sometimes when we keep our mouths shut, we're affecting our friend, our coworker, our neighbor's eternity and where they will spend it. And maybe God wants us to share with them. When we come into contact with fire, our natural reaction is to pull away. If we see someone near us, whether it's our child or a friend or a family member, and if they're about to burn themselves on a hot or a campfire, we're going to pull them away too. So if we have this physical desire to keep people that we care about safe and the people around us safe, shouldn't we have the same urgency and the same desire to keep people spiritually safe? We just want to encourage you to think about that and to think about the people around you that don't know Jesus, and to think about the fact that it's not only pastors and missionaries who are called to share the gospel, but every single believer.
So we want to close by asking you to think about some of these people in your life and write a few names on a piece of paper or on your phone and commit to pray daily for them for at least a month and see what happens. And commit to do more than you did so far for them. Ask God to give you the chance to share the gospel with them. Because we know that Christ has the power to change them, to change their lives the same way he did with us. And then we can ask these people to tell us their story if we haven't heard it already. And then we can ask them if we can share our story, how God changed us. And then we can tell them God's story, because it's the best story, how he changed the whole world.
We really want to thank you guys all just for your encouragement and your prayer over the past couple years. A lot of you get our newsletters. Some of you respond to them, and I'm really grateful. We are grateful for that, even if we don't always get a response sent back again. But we're just really grateful for the prayers and the support and encouragement that you guys have given us, and grateful for the opportunity to come here and just share about our ministry. And to feel like we can be a part of your church family while we're here in the States. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. They have a table that has their prayer card on, and not only can you pick one up, it already has a magnet on it. Someplace where you will see it on a regular, you can slip it in your Bible. Also, they're both on Facebook, so you could friend request them, right? That's okay, right? Okay. They could do that. They're also going to be here on stateside for about 3 more months or so. And I didn't get permission ahead of time, but you can tell me in the second service you want to say it. But if you want to take them out for coffee or get to know more about their ministry, here's something I learned about Rosvon. They helped at our trunk and treat. They were the last vehicle there. They follow our church. They pray for our church family. You have prayed for them as well. But when I was talking to him, he was talking about the dog that they had. And then he just made this comment. He said, our dog only understands English, primarily, in the home. And I thought about that. I could watch their dog. But I couldn't go do what they're doing because I don't know the language. And as I hear him talk about the Roma people, I think this is what the Samaritans lived through. This is the Jewish view of the Samaritans. And there was a woman who came to Jesus and was asking her, and she said, even the dogs get the scrap from the table. And Jesus ministered to that woman who was an outcast, who was separated from them. And as you pray for them, as you are a part of Faith Promise, as you give to this church faith promise, your gift doesn't become less, it becomes more. It becomes diversified, and you're able to help in heart choices. And we're going to hear about Cuba and the Caribbean next week, and you're going to be reaching into Romania and so forth. And so just really want to encourage you to do that. On the second Sunday of the month, we have a practice that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do that today. Rosvon and Alyssa are there helping to outcast, saying, come to the table of the Lord. And you know, I don't even know how to describe what it is to share communion with you and to officiate over that, because I didn't prepare the table. And I'm not even a host. Christ is the host. And as I was preparing my heart, and knowing we were talking about missions, I was thinking about Psalm 23. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And we love the fact that the Lord is our shepherd, and because of that, we won't want. And that He leads us beside the quiet waters. Boy, that's the kind of relationship I want with God. And He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the kind of God that I want. And yeah, there are times, because we live in a rough, sinful world, that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But even then, God, I'll walk through that valley because I know that You're with me and I don't fear. And then it goes on to say this, You prepare a table for me. And through the Holy Spirit, the psalmist gives us a view of where you would not have a table. You remember where that table's at? In the presence of my enemies. And God, You anoint my head with oil, meaning the blessing of God is upon me. And then you remember what it says next? My cup overflows. I'm filled up. Now, this is not a picture of a cup that was knocked over at the table and everyone jumps away from. It's that, God, You continue to pour my life, and the setting where that is in is where we face enemy territory. So Jesus was with His disciples, and they were celebrating the blessing of God upon the Jewish people. And Jesus interrupted that meal, and He held up the bread. Jesus was going very into the heart of His enemies. And He said, this is my body that is broken for you. See, we have a Savior that goes into the broken places of this world, to broken people of this world, of which Romania has many broken people, and the Roma people are very broken and separated. But you know, the reality is, you're broken too, and so am I. And He goes, this is my body is broken for you. And then He held up a cup. It was a common cup, a shared cup, and He gave thanks for it. And He said, drink from it, all of you. There's enough in it for each and every one of you. And if you're here today and you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that Rosvon and Alyssa talked about, today can be the day where you say, God, I believe that You died for my sins and You came into my brokenness, and Jesus bore my sin on His body on the cross, so that if I, by faith, ask Jesus to come and forgive me of my sin, He will forgive me. And I will have that hope. And God, not only will He pour that hope into my life, but I'll be able to bring that hope to other people's lives. Let's pray. Father, as we come to Your table, we know the promise is that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And that's just not life here. We were created for eternity, into all eternity. But Father, that comes when we recognize that it's from Your hand that we receive everything that we have. And Father, we would invite Your presence to us today. And as we come to Your table, You encourage us. In fact, You command us to examine ourselves. Make sure that we are in the faith. Make sure we're living that faith out. Father, that the life of Christ is represented in us. And Father, in any area of disobedience or neglect in our life, we know that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Father, today, as we've heard about Your ministry, both here and abroad, we invite your Spirit to speak into our life today. And may we be encouraged in our faith as we participate in the Lord's Supper. We do invite that anyone that has a relationship with Christ to share, if the ushers will come forward. We ask that you wait until everyone is served and we'll partake of the elements together.